come back and do some work.
May have gone out.
I wanted to say hi to everybody out there and see how we're doing and let you know how I'm doing. I have come out pretty good from my eye surgery and gone back to work this week. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that sent some love and some text and called and sent over some great food. I was going to try to get skinny, you know, while I was recovering, and I'd be darned if people just didn't bring over some fantastic food almost every night. So I got a little spoiled. Just thank you. Thank you to everyone who did that. It meant so much to me. I felt so loved and appreciated. And I'm almost back to normal. My eye's healing slowly, but it's healing. And I think what I'd just like to say is that I miss everybody and can't wait to kind of hang out again. And also, just a word to just say to be great if you guys share a little love. You know, if somebody comes across your mind and you're thinking about them and you think maybe I should just see how they're doing. Reach out to them, say hey, send them a text, give them a call, whatever it is. And just remember that once you sent that out, if you send it out in love, then it doesn't really matter what the response is, but more than likely they're going to really appreciate it as well. So, love you guys, miss you, and hope to see you soon. Bye bye.
Jesus, you are everything I'm not, and everything that I want to be. Jesus, you are the maker of my heart. Finish what you started in me. Jesus,
what is up, Pathway? It is your good friend Rob DeLoach. I think you can read that. If not, it's probably backwards, but we'll live. I am out here under my favorite shade tree where I hide from all my work out here at the golf course. It is a wonderful and awesome day, and I am looking forward to getting back together with all of my friends and my family that have become friends and however else you say that, because I miss all of y'all. I love you guys. I hope that in these trying and these turbulent times that you are finding strength and finding some of the members of this tribe to stay with you. And if anybody needs me, I'm not that hard to find. I'm kind of big, so it's easy to see me. Come on out, find me out here on the golf course, or just hit me up, and I would love to talk to anybody that needed me or wanted to say hey. Take care, family.
Are you ready, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right,
let's go.
Sign when you go back 30 years old. Yeah. Hey, Pathway, here we are again. We've kind of gotten used to this, me and Lou. You know, we ain't scared of each other. We're sitting a little too close, but that's okay.
We're 6 feet.
Yeah, ish. 6 feet. this works so much better than virtual talking. I don't know, it just seems more natural to talk to somebody. But anyway, welcome to Pathway tonight. And, if this is your first time here, you've already realized, oh, this is not normal church. They're pretty laid back. Yeah, we are. We're liable to belch or sneeze or let your imagination go, because that's just us. I'm Wendell, and I am loved by Jesus, and some days I get that here, and some days I don't even get it here. It's a roll of the dice, but today, I'm getting it here, which makes this a very good day. So I'm loved by Jesus. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse, a little bit of physical, not much. Addiction to food and to work and to control. And I've had issues with pornography, with alcohol, with rage and panic and depression.
How am I going to
beat that one?
I can't.
So I'm a worse mess than he is.
Yeah, not true.
So anyway, we have not backed away or ducked or dodged or hidden from the cultural turmoil we're in right now. We're in a political hot mess. It's about as nasty as I've ever seen it, and I thought the last time was bad. We're in all kinds of cultural upheaval with the racial issues that we're having. Even in religious circles, there's all kinds of arguing over lifestyles and what is your stance on scripture, and just, you know, so you name it, just about anywhere you go, the knitting club, the ball field, people are finding something to fight about.
Oh yeah.
And it's just getting ridiculous. So if we in Pathway, if we're a ministry that's supposed to be about recovery, and we've said it, it's probably about the 10th or 12th, maybe 15th time I've said it, if we're going to talk about personal recovery and relational recovery and even recovery in our relationship with God, we cannot avoid cultural and political and even theological recovery, because we are operating on the basis of some pretty wounded, sick thoughts and preconceptions and even habits that feed unhealthy political thinking and unhealthy cultural thinking and unhealthy theology. That sounds like such a big word. Theology is simply how you feel about God. That's all it is. So if you want to say it that way, we have some really unhealthy feelings and thoughts and opinions of God that most people would want to say these are correct or incorrect thoughts, and I think we would approach it more, these are healthy and or unhealthy thoughts.
Yeah.
In Pathway, because we're about recovery to health and wholeness. So we're just kind of tackling this whole racial, social, cultural, political thing, and talking about it honestly and even admitting some of our own biases.
Biases?
Yeah.
Plural. Biases?
There you go.
That's it.
Biases. And if you have four or five, it's just, you just keep adding S's.
Just keep adding.
And it gets this long ass word.
That's exactly right.
So, I think where we're going to go today is that when you get really deep into your beliefs, and once you have hit the stage in life when you start to build your own mental and moral and political and cultural construct in your mind, this is who I am. If they ask me whether I'm a conservative or a liberal, I'll tell them this. If they ask me whether I'm a Calvinist or a Wesleyan, I can tell them. If they ask me, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
If they ask me,
if they look at us and know, are they black, are they white, are they brown? You know, we you know, it's something that we already constructed.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's what's interesting is that some white people have one thing to say. This is what whiteness means to me. Mm-hmm. This is my white construct. Where another white person would say, well, this is my white construct, and it doesn't look like yours.
Right.
And you can say that with brown people, black people, Asians, what you name it.
Right.
But we all, as humans, and in a way, you have to have this to operate. I mean, you kind of have to form some sort of opinion of who you are. Your likes, your dislikes, your leanings, your unleanings, your, you know, and you figure it out, or you fall into it. However you get there, this develops in your mind, in your heart, and that becomes your normal.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of that is taught. Some of that we're indoctrinated to, for lack of a better word. I don't know that that's necessarily the right word, but you know, some of that is put upon us, and then some of that is maybe reaction,
absolutely,
to what we've seen
or has happened to us.
And I think, you know, in our terms, in terms of recovery, our story,
right,
has kind of formed
who
we are.
Yeah.
And you know, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
It has formed us that way.
And so what we want to talk about today, I mean, I think we've established this, that you can only live life as Lewis, and I can only live life as Wendell. And it has everything to do with our backstory, that's the best way to say it, is with our backstory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you fall into it, which is your upbringing. I had nothing to do with where I was brought up.
Right.
You kind of fall into it. Then you get in school and you start to have to wrestle with, well, maybe I see it. So some of it you form yourself. Others of it, if you want to be in that group, you have to think that way. So they won't let you in their club unless you think that way. So you change your thinking to fit in that club. Well, I just joined such and such First Church of the whatever on the corner down there, and they say they believe this, so if I'm going to join, I have to really seriously consider that belief, and I've never thought about it before. In fact, at times I've been diametrically opposed to it, but now that I'm a member, so I mean, it's just all kinds of ways that you become Lewis and I become Wendell.
Right. You said, you know, some of it we form.
Yeah.
But some of it is formed for us.
Yes.
Is put out in front of us.
Yeah.
And
almost forced upon us.
Almost forced upon us. Or we grab it and hold on to it because, well, like we talked about last week, because if we have that, we feel like we're being seen by the folks that
we want to be seen by.
That we want to be seen by.
Right.
Right? And so,
right.
You know, sometimes they force that on us to make us think that then they'll see us.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes we pull that in because we want to be seen.
I'm not going to name any. I'm going to stay as vague as I can on this one. But it's a true story. It's a true story. I was talking to somebody the other day who was telling me somebody they're close to. I really don't know this other person. The person I was talking to, I know them. The other person, I don't. Third party, I don't. They said that when this third party was married to their spouse, I'm not going to say wife, husband, when they were married to their spouse was ultra left-wing liberal. Not anywhere close to moderate, not anywhere close to middle, ultra left-wing liberal. When you talk to this third person that I'm saying, when you talk to them back then, they parroted word for word what their spouse said. They believed it. The passion in them for what their spouse believed was strong.
Mm-hmm.
Their spouse passed away. All of a sudden, this person is radically, it's past right wing. They're an outspoken racist now, where they were uber inclusive over here. They changed. Which makes your point. If I want to fit in with my spouse, I have to believe this way. If I want to fit in with the people I want to fit in with now, I have to be this way. And the person who was telling me about this was saying they were equally, the third person was equally comfortable both ways. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Equally passionate and equally comfortable. The words slid out of their mouth just as easy both ways. The liberal speak and the ultra, even past conservative speak. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. That we, and so it makes me very suspicious about conviction. Because I have people in my life who only watch one news network. They only listen to a small circle of religious speakers and or writers. They only feed themselves one perspective, period. Is that conviction or is that addiction?
It's a great question.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm going to throw two things at you, then you get to answer.
Oh, good.
Okay, so you go up to an alcoholic or a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you need to go for help. You need to have somebody speak into your life. Man, I'm not. I can quit this anytime I want. I can put this down. I don't need anybody else. I got this whooped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go up to the person I just described who watches the one news network, and you know, and you go up to them and you say to them, "You're addicted to that. You can't stop not watching that news network. Even if you want to, you couldn't stop. You know, and you can't stop listening and watching these certain talking heads." And you can't stop calling your friends who agree with you. I could anytime I want. I can stop that anytime I want. I don't need any help. I don't need any other alternative. Those sound so familiar. So
they do. They it's the same language. It's absolutely the same language. I can put that bottle down anytime I want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. It doesn't control me. I control it.
That's exactly right. And now, when we talk about that, we talk a little bit about, you know, that it's an addiction, whether it's to alcohol or to a political stance or a religious stance or,
you know, or a religious practice.
Or a religious practice.
Yeah.
And the difference in some of that is it's hard to find a a large group of people anywhere that are alcoholics that will tell you it's okay to be an alcoholic. Mm. You're
yeah. Yeah. I see.
Alcoholics are
yeah. This is just an alternate way to live.
It's just okay. A different way to live. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not anything other than it's the way they see it.
Yeah.
That kind of response to a religious conviction, we'll use that word, a religious conviction or a political conviction or a any of those things, you can find massive groups of people who will support that in you and I think that's where it gets real kind of weird and dicey, because you know there's not a lot of public support for folks who are addicted to cocaine, as far as people saying, no, it's okay, go ahead.
Right.
I'm just like you and we're good.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that.
Yeah.
But there is with
religion,
there is with
politics,
there is with racial issues.
Yeah.
You know, there is with all of that. And so I think where we feel like we get permission.
Exactly.
To start pointing fingers. And to get angry.
Yeah.
You know? It's really the same when someone tells someone with a chemical addiction or someone with an alcohol addiction, that's bad.
Yeah.
Unless they have already hit rock bottom, the natural response is, you don't know me. Now I'm angry at you.
Yeah.
And I think we get that with these other addictions that we have. I mean,
I wonder if part of the anger that we're seeing these days is because people can't go to the religious rallies and the religious, let's say, pep rallies.
Okay.
To where you go and gather with people just like you and hear the same thing, and every week go away saying, well, we're right, aren't we? And that's not happening these days. And so people are getting angry because they're starting to question, where am I going to get my fix? You know, where am I going to get my... They're going through withdrawals, and it's happened with political rallies. People aren't showing up like they were, you know. Religious... I mean... Church is basically a religious rally every Sunday.
True.
And you know, and it can be very, it can be the best thing in the world, and it can be the most diabolical thing in the world, depending on what happens there and what's being said and what's being taught and what's being shared.
Yeah.
But these days people aren't getting that. And so if they're finding themselves feeling isolated like a coke addict or a, you know, an alcoholic, they're feeling isolated. I'm the only one that feels this way. And I think it's causing anger and frustration, and, you know. And I think it's also causing people to frantically rush to... That's not the right way to say it. Frantically cling to what they do have left, which is newscasts, talking heads on the TV or the computer. I'm going to... Some of this stuff's been taken away from me, so I'm going to cling more tightly to what I still can access.
Yeah, I'm going to go all in on it. I mean, I'm going to go even more. I'm going to search out people who think like me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to push away people who don't think like me, because I have to have that
right
in my life.
Right, to make me feel safe and secure.
Right.
Good about myself. Here's the question that came to me. I keep saying every time we meet, I write a blog on Monday that we talk about the next time.
Right.
And I didn't write this in the blog because I thought it would take too much time to unpack. But we can unpack it now. think about what you would have with God. Forget politics, forget culture, forget etiquette and protocol, forget all that stuff. What would you have with God if you were left on an island? Well, there's food and water. You can survive physically, but you're left on an island for 5 years by yourself. No books, no nothing to listen to. No
Billy Joel CD?
No, nothing, sorry. So what would you have with God at the end of that? Because you couldn't do your regular routine religious things that you do, whether they're personal or corporate.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But I think we would be shocked at how our relationship with God would morph into something way different than what it is now. Because I think we confuse our religious practices with a relationship with God. I think they're important. They are avenues and reminders and helps in our relationship with God, but they aren't our relationship with God.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you challenged me with that. What's it been, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
When we did communion.
Yeah.
You know, and that was challenging for me to talk about the removing the have to of the liturgy.
Yeah.
And the way we do it. And just having communion be this everyday meal. And you know, that again, you know, that's something different. It's in I'm gonna chase that rabbit just a little bit for communion. In some denominations, only the priest or the, you know, the pastor, the one that's got the piece of paper on the wall, mm-hmm. can do communion,
yeah.
can consecrate
right.
the elements.
Right.
It's definitely that way in the Catholic Church.
It's that way that the church I came from.
It's that way, officially that way in the United Methodist Church yeah. as well. But in a lot of churches, that's not, you know, that's not the thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk a lot about getting caught up in these practices.
Right.
And, you know, we've got practices, I think all denominations have practices that
kind of unique to their...
Either unique to what...
It's their signature.
It's their signature,
yeah.
or it's... something that they feel like is non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And my thoughts on that have changed a lot. Especially with communion. Because, you know, with what I do in Church Online, a lot of folks in our denomination and in other denominations too, don't consider that don't feel like we can do communion online
yeah
because
you the pastor can't physically touch the elements.
Yeah. You know, they give lip service to, well, you have to be together in the same room,
right
and so the more I have seen that and the more I have heard, this ain't church, what right. we're doing right now
yeah.
ain't church,
yeah,
according to a lot of folks.
Right.
You know, the less and less I am enamored with yeah. the, you have to do it this way.
Well, okay, so that just strengthens what we're talking about, in that this pandemic time has forced us to examine where is my stance on culture.
Mm-hmm.
Where is my stance on race? Where is my stance on political issues? Where is my stance on religious practice? Mm-hmm. Where do I fall on it? Because we're not able to drink the Kool-Aid we were drinking.
We're not able to get to those pep rallies anymore.
No.
You know, we're not able to get in these groups of people who think just like us.
Yeah.
Or look just like us.
Yeah.
And it's become very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For us to not have that. Stability is not the right word. To have that
we can't inhale.
We can't shoot. That's terrible to say it that way.
But it's kind of,
I mean,
I can't use.
Yeah.
And that's, and this will make so many people angry when you say that. But, okay, so I'm just going to, this is going to be, and I'm looking at the clock, so I see we're getting short on time. But I'm going to tell my own little story, just a part of it. When I got kicked out of church in Tennessee, came here to Kentucky, I played in Lewis's worship band here at church, but I wasn't involved here, only musically. I just...
But you were coming to Pathway. You were coming to then Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, some. Yeah, some. Casually involved at first.
Right.
Then got deeper. So, but I went through about a 2-year period where I never cracked my Bible open. I never got involved in any religious practice whatsoever. In fact, and I would change now. I'm different now, but the word's already out. Don't ask Wendell. There for a while, I said, don't ever ask me to say a public prayer. I ain't going to do it. I would now because I've kind of had to rethink that again. But I completely separated myself from my politics, from my religion, from everything. I was so angry at first. That's what gave the canoe the initial shove out in the lake. And then I just kind of got used to. And I remember going and playing disc golf Sunday morning after Sunday morning and thinking, look at all the thousands of people in this town who are in church and I'm out here doing what I want to do. And it was rebellious. It was juvenile. Some of it was just juvenile rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, look what the church did to me. I owe it nothing. Look what God did to me. I owe him nothing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I divorced myself from all of that for a couple of years. The problem I had was that God had this little string tied to my heart. Church didn't. Religion didn't. Politics didn't. But God had this little string. And he was just fingering it his way.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a fishing reel. He was just kind of, you know. And I kept feeling this heart tug to rekindle this relationship with God. So I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do it the old way. I'm going to learn a new way. And so I came back to God in a new way. And as I did, I realized so much of what I'd done before had been an addiction.
Yeah.
It had not been a real relationship with God. It had been an addiction. And I wouldn't have known that unless I'd quit it cold turkey. I quit it cold turkey. And then God pulled me back in. And so what we do in Pathway is so real.
Yeah.
If people think something bullshit, they say it.
They're going to call it out.
If they think God effed them over, they say it. And so it's no more of this pretend religious ritual stuff. It's like, this is my heart's passion toward God.
Yeah.
This is not an addiction. I'm bleeding out here. And I need a real God to show up and really do something in my heart.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what we have here. And it's spread in Broadway. It's slowly spreading.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point of... That's the period at the end of the sense of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? I can fight all I want. No, I'm not addicted to my politics. I'm not addicted to whatever. Try quitting it. Just try quitting it. Try walking away from it. Cold turkey. And see what happens.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can't tell your story, but in a way, you shoved your canoe out of the lake.
I did.
Yeah, to a certain... And you're not the same Lewis I knew when I first met you.
No.
No, we're even close.
No. No. And, you know, part of my story is about anger. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty open about that. And, you know, I joined the Army because it was an opportunity to be angry professionally.
Yeah, yeah, get paid for it.
Get paid for it.
Certified anger.
That's right, you know. They trained me to be better at being angry. And so, you know, anger was an addiction mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. And even after I went into professional ministry, when they started paying me to be a pastor.
Certified, yeah.
Right? I was still angry. But I lied to myself and said, this is righteous anger. Okay? I'm angry about the right things now. And so, I think that's where sometimes we get in trouble, is we lie to ourselves and say that I'm angry for the right reason, when anger's really not where we need to, that's not the place we need to get to.
Yeah.
I when you guys are watching this morning, the series we're in now is based on Wayne's Nine Truths document. And today it was, God is at work in everybody all the time. Mm-hmm. And until we get that,
mm-hmm. absolutely,
no anger is righteous anger.
No.
And
yeah, the guy you're voting against next time you pull the lever, mm-hmm. God's at work in him.
God's at work in him.
Yeah.
Or her.
Right. Right.
And, you know, to say that, and we'll find ourselves saying, I don't see how God's at work in them, or God can't be at work in them, which is completely opposite of what Scripture tells us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think our anger,
yeah,
there are things that can help us with that anger.
Well, if you want to bring it full circle, what we're saying to the addiction is, when I see that guy, I don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling that I do when I see this other guy. So I'm going off, what does this drug do to me? It mm-hmm. makes me feel good. It makes me feel safe. And these people are the ones who make me feel good and safe. Those people don't. So they can't be right.
That's right.
Well, it's like coffee sobers me up, so that can't be good. Give me another shot of bourbon. Really? But we don't want to go there with our religion, and we don't want to go there with our politics, but I'm seeing more clearly all the time. There are way too many similarities.
Yeah.
You know, just way too many. I think we're out of time. I don't know when we started, but
I don't either.
We needed to give time to people to get in the Zoom room. We'll have Zoom rooms at 7. Hope you got time to switch channels.
You will.
And get over there.
You will. So
I don't know where we're going next week, but we'll have fun.
We'll go somewhere.
Yeah. And by the way, should we tell them what we're doing Wednesday night?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I don't think we should.
Okay.
I think when you come back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, 6 o'clock next Sunday night, it will look different to you. That's all I am going to say.
The first Sunday in July. July 5th.
Yes. Yes. It will look different to you.
Yeah. Get on your dancing shoes. That's all we can say. Lead us in the serenity prayer.
Yeah, man. So, if this is your first time with us, you may not know that every time we gather, we finish our time together with the serenity prayer. And it's part and parcel, part of our roots as a recovery ministry, as a recovery organization, but it's more than that. It's something that unifies all of us. And we've been talking about, you know, they got to do it the same, you know, whether having to do something that's the same way every time is healthy or not. This is healthy.
Yeah, it is.
There are some things that you do it the same way every time, it's not healthy. But this is healthy, and the reason that it's healthy is because we're doing it together as a family.
Yeah.
And we are of one voice and of one, one focus.
Yeah.
And that is healthy. It's healthy for us. It's healthy for you. I don't think this is heresy. Tell me if it is. It's healthy for God.
Yeah.
To hear us speak in one voice.
Yes.
Especially some of the words that we speak in the Serenity Prayer. So we're going to do that together. The words will be down at the bottom of the screen, theoretically. If you want to get into a Zoom room, email Wendell. And by the time you're seeing this, we probably won't be able to get you in this week. But email Wendell, and we'll get you in the next one for sure. Okay? Yep. So gather around. Say this out loud with us. There's power in speaking these words out loud,
yes.
Even if you're in a room by yourself. So let's do that together, shall we? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Keep coming back. God loves you.
All right.
All right, y'all. Gonna do this again.
Bye.